I'll have to rewrite my sermon because someone pinched my other sermon this morning. I lost a part of it anyway. Something came to me in the service that we were talking about helping people and doing things for people. And I thought I'd just give you two little ideas about helping people. A couple of years ago, I said to one of my sons, don't buy me, I don't want to be Christian. I've got everything I want. I don't want anything. And I said, oh, buy me a sheep or something like that. And then Christmas Day came, and I opened the parcel, and there was a model goat in it with this wonderful letter. Happy Christmas. Dear Dad, I know we joked about this, but it really is worth it. On your behalf, a goat has been given to a rural family living in poverty in Europe, i.e. Romania. You say you have every year, so we thought someone else would have a great Christmas. Love, family. I thought it was great. I've got the goat, he's in the thing. Oh, really great, yeah. And the idea I had, I thought, well, Christmas comes in. Comes a Christmas Day and we all have a lovely feast. Well, I hope so anyway. And I thought, what a good idea. Work out the cost per person of that feast. And then give that amount of money to a charity. As an offering to the Lord. For what you've had. I don't know, it's an idea. I thought, it's something to do. You know, you might not give a great deal. I don't know how much a meal would be, £20, £15, but collectively, it could be a lot of money, couldn't it? Save the children or some need like that, which would help the people who have a need. So there's a couple of ideas that came to me. I thought, well, I'll share them with you, but you may ignore them if you wish. Now, this one is called Christ the King Sunday. And having read the readings this morning, I could see so many subjects that jumped out of my sermon that my sermon could last at least 3 hours. Don't worry, baby. Ezekiel, sheepfolds and shepherds. Matthew, the second coming of Jesus Christ and his judgment. We don't hear about that lately. I haven't heard a message on the Satan for you for years. Ephesians is the hope of our calling and the supremacy of Christ. I've got so many ideas. But I'm not going to turn to any of those today. In fact, I'm not going to refer to those scriptures. I've got another scripture which I wanted to look at. You'll find it in John 19. Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and they dressed him in purple cloth. They kept coming up to him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, Here is the man. When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Why? Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him. The Jews answered, We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die. Because he has claimed to be the Son of God. Now when Paul heard this, he was more afraid than ever. Where have you from? He said, Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. Paul therefore said to him, Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you? Jesus answered him, You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed it over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the Jewish bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. And it was about noon, he said to the Jews, "Here's your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked, "Shall I crucify your king?" The priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he handed them over to him to be crucified. What arrogant, hypocritical nonsense. "We have no king but Caesar." They only survived Caesar because they were being occupied. These religious leaders had no allegiance to Rome or to Caesar. They only tolerated the Roman occupation because the Romans let them rule the religious matters and have a status in the state. In fact, in an earlier situation, they had asked Jesus if it was right to give tribute to Caesar, tax to Caesar, to see if they'd catch him out. They had no idea about Caesar being king. Even after he'd been crucified, they supposed the thought that Jesus was king. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it's written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews.' But this man said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate replied, "What I have written." Opposition to Jesus King. Another opposition goes on today. In religions, nations, governments, society as a whole. And at the cross, we see the ultimate clash of two kingdoms. The kingdom of God and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of the world, following the ruler, the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in passions of our flesh, following the desires of the flesh and senses, and we were by nature the children of God." The battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan is always there. Make no mistake. Time is short tonight, but looking at the scripture, we see this work of Satan in lying, deceiving, binding, blinding, injuring, sickening. This ruler is against Jesus and opposes him in every area of life and every theatre of human activity. He is one who persecutes and goes on persecuting the church. I know you saw this. Came in this paper. It's quite interesting. "Well, you all sung 'Amazing Grace,' then they shot him." Missionaries. Missionaries. Quite an article. I praise God that he trusted it was there. I thought, that's tremendous. But here they were, a doctor and a teacher and a dentist, set up a surgery in a very remote part of the world to help people. And then they're captured And they sang Amazing Grace. Then these people, one person, shot the man with a guitar. Sickening, isn't it? Sickening. He's the one who turned Christianity into a religion in the early days. So that Christianity lost its power and became a formal, ordinary thing. He's the one who tried to stop the Bible being available to the world. He is the one who creates the situations for wars and sets nation against nation and nation within nation. He is the one who brings sickness into the world. He is the one who puts crimes into our hearts and minds, causing murder, violence, and all the dastardly deeds we read about in our daily papers on TV. They say he's born this job. The purpose of Satan was that he wanted to be like God, as we'll read later on. And in order to do that, he wants to destroy everything of God and the creation. You know, Star Wars is nothing compared to the titanic battle between Satan and God. This is the clash of the kingdoms. I like to think this, the one that I like is when the Empire Strikes Back. Jesus said to the Jews in John 8, "You are from your father the devil, and you choose to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. But because tell the truth and you do not believe me, which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me?" I was concerned as I prepared, and I thought, do we understand what it is we're facing? Discipline yourselves, says 1 Peter. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary the devil prowls around looking for someone to devour him. Resist him. Steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. You say, where's he going? Where's this chap going about this? All about defeat. Revelation 12. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they were defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. It says they went down to earth. At the very end it says, but woe to the earth and the sea, for the wicked devil has come down to you with great wrath. At the moment this battle started, we see him pursuing the woman. The battle of the kingdom started. But the Bible says, Satan knows his time is short. If you read Revelation 20, Jesus wins. It's not very good sometimes to read the end of a story, is it? You get a book and read the end of the story, you know, oh dear, oh dear, and you know what's going to happen. You read Revelation 20, see the end of the story, it's worth it. Jesus wins. Jesus wins. Did you hear what I said? Jesus wins. The Jewish leaders rejected Jesus as their king. The question I ask myself, is he my king? in this day of the king, is he my king? What is my idea of his rule? It could sound complicated and disheartening to read the word. There seems so much to be considered. So I simplify the whole thing by asking myself, have I accepted all that Jesus has shown me concerning my life? That's the first step. Am I obedient to what he's revealed to me through his word? Is there anything I need to deal with to keep my relationship with Jesus? Now, all those things are there, but these are relevant to us. They are relevant to us. I have a friend called Mike Pusey. He was the minister at the King Centre in Aldershot and at Farnborough. I served him for many years. And he had a saying, if he isn't Lord of all, he isn't Lord at all. If he isn't Lord of all, he isn't Lord at all. And that's something which really strikes my heart. I know I'm not perfect by any means. As I prepared this, I could think of things like, Lord, I've got to put that right. I'll be honest with you. Been going for over 6 years with Christ, but I'm still learning. I remember once I gave a sermon and I shared everybody with old plates. And that wasn't a destination, it was a fact. If he isn't Lord of all, he isn't Lord of all. What is my God? What is my God? What keeps me? You know, I can make a God of anything. I can make a God of worship. Strange, true. I can make a God of my home or my family or whatever it is. I can make any a God. It's fine, isn't it? When you think of all the things that could come between God and you, God and me, yet he loves us. The greatest love story on earth is that he loves us. And he gave his son on the cross to defeat the power of Satan in our lives, to defeat death, and to defeat hell. I worry sometimes. As I said, very rarely these days you hear a message on the second coming of Christ, something we used to preach on many, many, many times years ago. I worry because very often we don't preach about sin. Sin is an anathema to God. Sin is absolutely awful. And I've often said this here and I'll say it again. If you want to know what sin is like, just think of this. When Jesus was on the cross, all our sins were laid on him. And he calls Jesus to the crowd. My God, why have you forsaken me? The idea about God turning his back on Jesus, maybe, sure, I don't know, but I know that there were ways. The moment our sin was put on Jesus, the fellowship which he had with the Father since eternity, right the way through, the close communication he had was shattered because our sin separated him from God. That's how awful sin is. But Jesus paid the price. Jesus won. Jesus is victor. And we today can stand rejoicing, worshipping and praising God. Because he is a saviour. He is the king. Let's crown him. One final thought. I've been thinking recently of a song we sang years ago. And I think it reflects my heart. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my King, rejoice. Take joy in what you hear. I want to be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. What does God want from us? Worship. To be a sweet sound. And worshiping and always singing bright, merry songs and dancing and everything like. Worship is when our heart opens to God and we worship him. We love him. He is King. I'm glad to serve him. I trust you all.